Welcome to Tuned to Yesterday, broadcasting programs from the golden age of radio. I'm Mark Levonier. In this hour, Christmas-themed shows. Later on, it's Suspense with the story 'Twas the Night Before Christmas from 1953. But right now, it's an episode of This Is Your FBI called The Innocent Santa Claus from December 21st, 1951 on ABC.
This is your FBI. This is your FBI, the official broadcast from the files of the Federal Bureau of Investigation. Presented, transcribed as a public service by the Equitable Life Assurance Society of the United States and the Equitable Society's representative in your community. Tonight, the subject of our FBI file, Armed Robbery. It's titled, The Innocent Santa Claus.
Nearly all criminals are emotionally childish, undependable, and unscrupulous. Some, like the characters you'll meet in tonight's dramatization from FBI files, are more vicious than others. But make no mistake about it. The dashing and charming Robin Hood types are few and far between. Criminals taint with unhappiness the lives of all those with whom they come in contact. The little niceties of life, the decent, courteous kindnesses, the Christmas spirit itself that make up normal people's lives are completely foreign to the vast majority of them. Whatever they do is for themselves alone. One of your FBI's major purposes in bringing you these programs is to present the underworld as it really is, without glamour, without sentimentality. Tonight's FBI file opens in a cheap hotel room in the downtown district of a large eastern city. A 12-year-old girl is alone in the room. She walks to a full-length mirror on the wall and sings a song. When she finishes, she bows to the mirror.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for your kind applause. That was a great act, but we've got a long show. So let's meet a star who needs no introduction.
Wait a minute, Daddy, wait a minute.
I didn't hear you come in.
Honey, you ought to know better than to try to bring on a star that way.
Oh, but I was just trying to have a...
What theater were you playing?
The one I'm named after.
All right. You're on the stage at the Roxy. A sensational flash act has just finished.
Mm-hmm.
Now your star's on next. So you want to give her a build, huh?
But, Daddy, you always say, and now a star who needs no introduction.
I know I do. But then I introduce them.
Oh.
And I tell a couple of jokes. Like, as I was coming in the stage door tonight, a bum came up and asked me for $2 for a cup of coffee. And I said, $2 for a cup of coffee? Why, you can get one for a nickel. And he shrugged his shoulder and says, well, can I help it if I'm a big tipper? Now you got the audience going, see? So you slug him again.
Mm-hmm.
You say, that bum is sure crazy. I met him yesterday, too, and he asked me for $8 for a piece of pie. And I said, $8 for a piece of pie? Why, man, you can get one for a dime. And he shrugged and says, mister, do I tell you where to eat? Now they're warmed up, see? And you bring on your star. You get it?
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Oh, say, anybody call me?
Oh, Pete Morrow.
Pete Morrow, what do you want?
I don't know. I got the message at the desk.
Hey, maybe he's got some action.
Gee, Daddy, you think so?
Well, he's my agent, Eddie. He wouldn't call to find out how I was. Hey, maybe they need some next-to-closing insurance at the palace. Can be anything.
Wow-wee!
Well, come on. Hit me with a good luck kiss, and I'll go see him. Hey, Pete. Say, sorry to keep you waiting.
Yeah. Oh, hello, Fred.
I just got your message, and let me tell you, brother, I am ready. I got two new routines, and I got a kid writing me a parody on Melancholy Baby. Wait till I give you the opening. I come out in a broken-down suit, see?
Hey, Fred, I didn't call you for a theater job.
Oh, well, that's okay. I do just as good in nightclubs. I'll just move the song up.
Wait a minute, Fred. This ain't a nightclub job either. A guy uptown called me this morning, and he's having a Christmas party for some kids at his house tonight. He wants a guy to play Santa Claus.
And you call me for that?
That's it.
Now, look, Pete. I know Vaudeville's dead, but there's still a lot of places where I can...
There's $25 in it.
Well, look, I give my dresser more than that.
Fred, look, I better level with you. Vaudeville ain't dead, but you are. I couldn't book you in a charity bazaar.
You couldn't book Abraham Lincoln at a patriotic rally.
You want the job or not?
No.
Okay, then I'll get somebody else.
Well, go ahead.
Oh, Fred. By the way, how's your kid these days?
Great.
Good. I'm glad to hear it. She eating good?
Well, sure. I gotta cut her down. She's getting a little heavy. Well, she's even...
Yeah? Even what?
Okay. I'll do it.
Your Santa Claus outfit's right there in that box. A car will pick you up in front of your hotel at 7. Now, you'll be ready.
Daddy, how'd you make out?
Wait till I get rid of this box. Now I'll take that hug.
Oh, Daddy, what happened?
Well, Pete Mara told me Oscar Hammerstein says he positively can't do his next show without me. And so that put Pete in the spot.
Why?
Well, Max Gordon's got a script. And he told Pete if I don't do it, he'll never hire another actor from him. And...
Oh, the spaghetti!
Oh.
Ouch!
Oh. Did you burn yourself?
I'm sorry. I didn't keep watching and the water all boiled out and the spaghetti's ruined.
So what?
That was our last can.
Look, you're going down to the grill and eat steak.
But they said at the desk, no more signing.
I'm paying them cash. Now, go ahead. Go on.
Aren't you eating with me?
No, honey.
Where are you going?
Well, you see, Oscar Hammerstein is crazy to have me in the show he's doing, but the Angels don't know me. So Oscar asked me if I'd do him a favor and audition.
Oh.
Well, you never saw a guy so sorry in your life asking me to audition. But I told him I don't mind. I knew the spot he's in.
Can I go?
Oh, no. Not tonight, honey. Now hit me with a good luck kiss and run down and have your dinner. That's it. Now, go ahead.
But, Daddy, I always thought when they did a show, they hired the actors before they bought the costumes.
Well, they do.
Then how come Mr. Hammerstein had your costume already?
What?
On that box it says Santa Claus costume, size 42.
Oh, that. Well, you see, after the audition, I'm going to play a benefit.
Daddy...
Okay. I never could con you. You want to know what a big star your old man is? I'm playing Santa Claus at a kid's party uptown.
You're playing Santa Claus?
Yeah.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Hmm?
Daddy, that's great. Santa Claus is the biggest star in town right now. Who's bigger?
Well,
Hope, Crosby, the Lone Ranger, they're nothing at Christmas time. Santa Claus and his reindeer are headliners.
Maybe you're right.
Of course I am. It's perfect casting. They finally got a star playing a star's part. Don't you understand?
Yeah, I understand. Thanks, honey. You waiting for me?
You Fred Harper?
Yeah.
All right, get in.
Okay. Hey, who's throwing this party?
Mr. Caldwell.
You his chauffeur?
Uh-huh.
See, look, I never worked a thing like this before. You mind if I try a couple of gags on you?
Go ahead.
Well, I figure I'll walk out and say... I know Santa Claus is supposed to come in through the door, but them chimney sweeps have got a real strong union. Nothing, huh? Yeah, maybe it's a little too fast. How about this? I'd have been here sooner except for one of my reindeer. He showed up late because he went to the movies. It seems he wanted to see the picture because he read the book. Say, pal, was your mother frightened by Ned Sparks? You know it ain't against the law to laugh in this city.
Uh-huh.
Hey, I thought this Caldwell lived uptown.
Yeah, he does.
Well, then, what are we doing down here by the river?
You, see that sign?
Which one?
Don't!
The following day, on a street corner near the local FBI field office, Special Agent Jim Taylor meets Police Detective Mike Wolfe.
Hey, Mike. Oh, hello, Jim. I just coming up to see you.
Oh, what about?
A jewel theft last night.
Where?
Uptown. The home of some people named Caldwell.
Huh? What's our jurisdiction?
Interstate transportation.
Uh-huh.
These Caldwells live in a big house on the Heights just off the approach to the Huntington Bridge. You know where the Cloverleaf Turn begins.
Yeah.
Well, they were having a Christmas party last night for their children and some neighborhood kids. Mr. Caldwell went all out and hired an actor to play Santa Claus. Santa Claus stuck up the place.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Tied up the children, the Caldwells, and their help, and then he emptied Mrs. Caldwell's jewel case.
Hold it, Mike. Yeah. Light's against it. How much did Santa grab at the party?
About $15,000 worth of jewelry and $300 in cash.
Oh, that's quite a haul.
After he left, one of the parents wiggled over to a window and saw him drive across the bridge.
How'd they know it was a thief's car?
Oh, it had a broken taillight, so they could follow it all the way.
Uh-huh.
The alarm's already gone out on the car.
Come on, I'm going out. Mike, any prints found around the place?
I haven't been up there yet, but I doubt we'll come across any. Part of the Santa Claus outfit was a pair of rubber gloves.
Oh, I see.
Well, we won't need the prints for identification, though. We know who Santa Claus was.
How?
Mr. Caldwell told me he was hired through a theatrical agent named Pete Morrow. I contacted Morrow and learned that he sent an actor named Fred Harper.
Find out where he lives?
Yeah, at the hotel vending. I called there, but his room didn't answer.
You interviewed the victims yet?
No, I was going to do that now.
Okay. I'll go over to Harper's hotel.
What do you want, Mac?
Hello there. I'm Special Agent Taylor of the FBI. Here are my credentials.
What can I do for you?
Will you please ring Mr. Fred Harper's room?
He's not in. His little girl's been looking for him, too. Seems he didn't get home last night.
Oh, you know Harper?
Very well. I was once his straight man. Is he in trouble?
Yes, he seems to be.
Mr. Perry, have you heard from my daddy yet?
No, I haven't, Roxy. Mr. Taylor, this is Harper's daughter, Roxy. Mr. Taylor's from the FBI.
Hello there.
Do you know where my daddy is?
Well, no, I don't.
Can you help me find him? I mean, please.
We'll do our best, Roxy. Did you see your father last night?
Yes, sir. He was going to play a party as Santa Claus.
Were you here when he left?
Yes. A man called for him.
You see this man?
Only from the window. He was in a big car. Daddy got in and went with him.
What kind of a car was it?
I don't know.
Or was it a sedan, a convertible?
A sedan.
What color?
I couldn't tell. But I do remember one thing. One of the lights in back was broken.
Oh?
Mr. Taylor, why are you asking me all these questions?
Well, Roxy, somebody came to that party wearing a Santa Claus outfit and held up the people.
A real hold-up?
Yes.
With a gun?
That's right.
Not Daddy. He couldn't do anything like that. He's not a crook.
Mr. Taylor... Phone call for you.
Oh, thanks.
Please believe me, Mr. Taylor.
I'll be right back, Roxy.
You can take it on that phone.
Fine, thanks. Hello.
Hey, Jim. This is Mike Wolfe.
Yeah, Mike.
Fred Harper's been picked up.
Oh, where?
Near the approach to the Huntington Bridge. And two of the stolen pieces of jewelry were found in his pocket.
We referred previously to the selfishness and callousness of the criminal mind. During the Christmas season, when the vast majority of us are in a genial, relaxed mood, the underworld does not hesitate even at this season to strike often and hard. There's no off-season in crime. Being off guard is not safe at any time. The men of your FBI are convinced that it is high time to stop romanticizing gangsters and hoodlums. FBI agents who come in contact with the underworld daily know it for what it is. Ruthless around the calendar, with no days off for good behavior. Tonight's FBI file continues in the hospital ward at the city jail. Special Agent Jim Taylor is interviewing Fred Harper.
Mr. Harper, you insist that Mr. Caldwell's chauffeur knocked you out last night?
Don't these lumps on my noggin prove it?
But Mr. Caldwell says he has no chauffeur and never sent a car for you.
Well, whoever the guy was, he belted me out.
And that's all you can tell me.
Mr. Taylor, do I look like a guy who'd stick up a kid's party?
Well, unfortunately, looks don't mean a thing.
But I've never been picked up even for jaywalking. The only record I got is in the back issues of Variety.
Are you sure you can't remember anything about this man?
Well, he's a tough audience.
What do you mean?
I told him two jokes. Both bops. He never even cracked a smile. Look, my agent can prove they sent a car for me. Pete Morrow in the Central Building.
Yes, I know. Detective Wolf spoke to him. He claims he gave you the Santa Claus outfit and Caldwell's address, and you were supposed to get there by yourself.
Well, he's a liar.
Well, his word is better than yours right now.
Why?
He didn't turn up with any of the stolen jewelry on him.
But I'm being framed.
No, you're not. This case won't be closed till we find the rest of that jewelry.
Al. Albert, don't hold out on me.
I ain't.
Is this all the stuff you grabbed last night?
Except for the two hunks I stuck in Harper's pocket.
Well, the papers made it a much bigger job.
Oh, the papers, the papers. They got Illinois as a 7-point favorite in a Rose Bowl. Can you bet them?
Not me, no.
The same with stick-ups. I once heist to the joint, got 200 clams. Papers come out and say I grabbed 8,000. This is the age we live in, kid. Now, you're going to get the fence this, huh?
Well, I'm not going to tell you that.
Well, why not?
Well, because the next time we do a job, you might take the loot straight to him.
Well, I wouldn't do that.
Well, let's leave it this way. You don't mind, do you?
Suppose I do.
Well, it won't make any difference.
Yeah, then I don't mind.
Fine. You call me tomorrow, and I'll tell you how much we're cutting up.
Hi, honey.
I got so scared last night when you didn't come home.
Well, keep being scared. We're still in a jackpot.
Mr. Taylor told me he was coming to see you. Didn't you tell him you had nothing to do with it?
Mm-hmm. But I'm still here.
Oh, they'll let you go.
Oh, sure. When they take this turban off my noggin, they'll move me down to a regular cell downstairs. Great guy you got for an old man.
I know you didn't steal anything.
Thanks, honey. Oh. Oh, hand me that bottle of pills. My head starts coming off if I get up.
Here.
And a little water, honey. Thanks.
What kind of pills are those?
I don't know. Well, here goes. Oh. They taste like chopped up theater tickets. Nothing, huh?
I just don't feel like laughing. Daddy, will you be out Friday?
I doubt it. Why?
I promised my teacher.
Promised her what?
Well, the school Christmas play is Friday. I told her you'd be there.
Well, that's fine. But I'm such a hit here, I think they'll hold me over.
But I told my teacher what a sensational Santa Claus you'd do. Daddy, we've got to figure some way to get you out by Friday.
Well, if you get an idea, cut me in for half.
Isn't there anything we can do?
Sure. Just keep hoping, honey.
Mike, I got a report from our lab on that jewelry.
No, what's the word, Jim?
They found a single latent fingerprint on one of the bracelets.
We've got Fred Harper's prints right here.
Oh, yeah, I've already checked. It's not one of his.
Well, that doesn't prove he's innocent.
I can't help feeling he is, though.
You believe the story about the mysterious stranger posing as Caldwell chauffeur?
Yeah, yeah, I do. Harper's little girl told me about the taillight on that car being broken. There's no way she could have known that if she wasn't telling the truth.
Yeah, pardon me.
Sure, Mike.
Wolf speaking.
This is Captain Gordon, State Police. We've got that car you set out the alarm on.
Where?
One of my men just found it where Highway 81 hits the turnpike. I'll see that nobody touches it.
Thanks, Captain. Come on, Jim. Car's been found.
Yeah, that's the car, all right, Mike.
Mm-hmm. There's the broken taillight. Uh-huh.
Well, let's see what's inside it. Mike, look here on the back seat.
Huh?
Santa Claus outfit. The pants, shirt. Hood, there's the whiskers on the floor.
Any labels?
Yeah, I'll take a look. Yeah. Yale Costume Company, but that's no help. Harper's agent admits running this suit.
Well, suppose we go through the trunk.
Oh, wait a minute. I'll look up front first, Mike.
All right. Police went over everything in the car for prints and was clean.
Yeah, let's take a look in here. Well, these glove compartments are like the clocks. They never work. Ah, there's road maps, instruction books, baseball scorecard. Mike, rubber gloves. Let's head back to town and get these to the lab.
Hello, Pete.
Well, Fred, how come they let you out?
Mr. Taylor here can tell you.
Who, Taylor?
Yes, I'm a special agent of the FBI. I'd like to ask you a few questions, if I may.
Sure, anything. Sit down, sit down.
Thanks. Now, Mr. Morrow, you told Detective Wolf you made no arrangements to have Harper picked up the other night.
Yeah, that's right.
We found that car yesterday.
The one he used in the stick-up?
Well, the one that was used, but not by Harper. We also found the gloves that were part of the hold-up man's costume.
Oh, so?
So our laboratory got a full set of prints off the inside of those gloves. One of them matches a print we got from a piece of jewelry we found in Harper's pocket.
Well, what's that all got to do with me?
Well, the prints belong to somebody named Al Bedford.
Who?
Mr. Taylor, I told you what to expect. This guy wouldn't give you the right time in Elgin, Illinois.
Mr. Morrow, you know Al Bedford.
Well, is he an actor?
He's a professional criminal.
Well, then how would I know him?
His record shows you once gave him a character reference when he put in for a parole.
What's his name? Al what?
Al Bedford.
You better be nice to him, Pete. Maybe he'll give you the job booking talent on those prison shows.
Say, I don't know what either one of you guys are talking about.
Oh, hi, Mike.
We caught Al Bedford. I just got a full confession from him. Mr. Morrow here was his partner.
Oh, that's a lie.
Hey, Mr. Taylor. That clears me now, huh?
Yes, it does.
Then I'd better call my kid and find out if there's still time to do that Santa Claus bit.
All right. Mike here can drop Murrow off at the city jail. I'll go with you.
The auditorium's down this way, Mr. Taylor.
That's a pretty big school.
Mm-hmm. Got the biggest stage of any school in town. That's why Roxy goes here.
No.
I think she's majoring in proscenium arches. What time you got?
It's 4:15.
Hope we're not late. Hey, you want in on a secret?
What?
I'm scared.
Scared of what?
Walking out on that stage in front of 2,000 kids.
Oh, you've been on plenty of stages.
Yeah, but what do you do with Santa Claus? You can't get hokey. You got to play him straight. Oh, I guess this is the stage door. I saw four kids walk in here wearing halos. Oh, they've started.
Yeah.
Guess they got tired waiting. Can't blame them.
You see a little girl around there?
No. Look.
At what?
The old man in the Santa Claus costume over there. Oh. Come on.
Hey, where are you going?
I've been canceled.
Daddy! Daddy!
Honey.
You made it, Daddy. You made it.
Yeah, look, honey. Mr. Taylor and I are going out front now and catch the show.
Out front?
Well, we don't want to hang around backstage here and get in everybody's way.
But you're Santa Claus. We can't do the show without you.
Now, baby, don't let me down easy. There's Sam Whiskers sitting over there on that trunk.
Oh, that's the janitor. He was standing in for you till you got here.
Well, why don't you let him do it?
He's got no Santa Claus material. Daddy, you promised me.
Yeah, but suppose I lay an egg.
You? Oh, Daddy, you're teasing me.
Okay, I'll do it.
I think I'll go out front to watch this.
All right, and thanks again, Mr. Taylor.
You're very welcome.
And Merry Christmas.
And the same to both of you.
Oh, let's make it bigger. Let's make it Merry Christmas to everybody. And heaven and nature sing, and
heaven. And now we bring you a message from the book of Luke in the New Testament. A message shared with you by FBI Director J. Edgar Hoover, every special agent and employee of the Federal Bureau of Investigation. A message also shared with you by every officer and employee of the Equitable Life Assurance Society of the United States. A message which comes, too, from those who bring you this weekly program. A message written in simple words. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men.
This is your FBI, on Tuned to Yesterday from the 21st of December, 1951, an ABC broadcast. This is an hour of Christmas-themed shows on Tuned to Yesterday. I'm Mark LeVonier. Next, a Christmas tale on the suspense series starring Greer Garson, known to many for her Oscar-winning performance as Mrs. Miniver on screen a decade before. This episode marks her second and last appearance on the show from the year she appeared as leading lady Calpurnia in the picture Julius Caesar. The producers of Suspense actually had a performance of their famous Edge of Your Seat play, On a Country Road, scheduled for this night, but moved it down the schedule a couple of weeks to make way for Greer Garson's availability. The story is 'Twas the Night Before Christmas, broadcast on December 21st, 1953, on CBS.
And now, Autolite presents transcribed 'Twas the Night Before Christmas, hoping once again to keep you in suspense.
Come on, wake up. Wake up, Kathy. It's the day before Christmas. Oh, and there's so much...
Miss Buff, it's light out already. You said you were going to wake me really early today so we could go to the airport and meet them.
Come on, up you get. Let's get you dressed.
Buffy, they're going to be waiting for me and you didn't wake me. I know, Buff, they're home already.
Kathy.
Mommy! Daddy, where are you? Daddy? Mommy? Buffy, they're not in their bedroom. Where are they?
Kathy?
I know. I'll bet they're in the kitchen already having their coffee. Mom? Miss Buff, they're not home.
I know, honey.
The clock in the kitchen said 8:30.
Kathy, here, put this on, dear. You told me you wanted to wear this dress today. So that's why I ironed it for you.
Miss Buff.
Yes, dear?
Why aren't they here?
Oh, they'll be here.
But when I talked to Mommy on the telephone yesterday, she said she would be here at 6 this morning. And I promised her I'd meet her at the airport, her and Daddy.
I know.
And Daddy said he had a surprise he was bringing for me all the way from Paris. It's 8:30, Buffy. Let's go out to the airport now.
Oh, but there's so many things to do first. You've got to get your breakfast, and we have to finish decorating the tree. And, there's so many things I want you to help me with.
Oh, everything can wait, Buffy. Hurry, I promised to meet them.
No, dear.
Why not, Buff?
Well, I think we'll wait for them here. Kathy?
Yes?
You remember what you promised your mommy and dad? That you'd do everything I asked you while they were away.
Yes.
Then we'll wait for them here.
All right, Buffy. It's noon, Buffy.
I know.
Don't you think they might have called and told us they'd be late?
Oh, I'll go and make our lunch. You must be very hungry.
No, I'm not.
Oh, you didn't eat your breakfast, Kathy.
Miss Buff, I'm not hungry.
Look. Oh, look, it's snowing, honey. We'll have a nice warm lunch, and then we'll go out for a long walk.
You should have called.
I tell you what, Kathy. We'll take our walk first. We'll see the shops. We'll visit. We'll go and see Johnny and your aunt and uncle. Maybe if it snows hard enough, we can all build a snowman. Wouldn't you like that?
Yes, that would be fun.
Well, go get your coat and hat and galoshes, dear.
All right. And when we come back, Mommy and Daddy will be home.
Well, you go and get your things now.
Oh, I'll get it. I'll get it, Buffy. Mommy. Oh, who's this, Daddy? It's, all from a newspaper. I see. It's a man, Buff. He says he wants to talk to an older person. Here.
Hello? Yes, this is the Harper residence. I'm the housekeeper. Well, just a moment, please. Kathy.
Who is it?
Someone wants to talk to me, honey. Will you go get your things?
No, you talking to, Buffy?
Never mind, dear. Go and get your things.
No. No, I won't.
Hello? I see. Yes. Yes, I saw the papers. Yes, yes, that was the daughter. Yes, the only child. No, she doesn't. No. No, no, I wish you wouldn't. Please, don't, here. No.
Who was it?
Oh, just a man, honey.
From the newspaper. Why? What did he want?
Nothing.
He asked about me, didn't he? Why?
Honestly, honey, it was nothing.
It was about Mommy and Daddy.
Oh, wasn't anything important.
Well.
Yes, dear?
I don't know.
Look at that snow coming down, Kathy. Get your things, dear. Go on. They sing beautifully, Kathy.
Very lovely.
The street and all the decorations and the singers.
It's very lovely, Miss Buff.
Honey, here, give this to the man.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, Missy. Merry Christmas.
Let's go home now.
In a little while, don't you remember? We were going visiting, too.
Mommy and Daddy are probably home right now, waiting for me, wondering where I am.
And we'll build a snowman together, like I said. Come on, honey. I remember when I was a little girl how excited I'd get. Oh, all the wonderful things to see, the sights and the smells and the sounds. Pretty shop windows and the snow. To be a little girl at Christmas time. To be young at Christmas time. And happy at...
What's the matter, Buffy?
Oh, Kathy.
Buffy.
Let me hold you. Oh, Kathy, darling.
Buffy, you're crying.
I'm just silly, I guess. Why, look, there's Santa Claus watching us. Let's say hello to him.
You were crying.
Hello, Santa.
Merry Christmas. Oh, Merry Christmas, little girl.
Merry Christmas.
Well, you're a pretty little girl. What's your name?
Kathy.
Oh, that's a nice name for a nice little girl like you.
Thank you.
And I can tell you've been a good little girl. I saw the way your mommy was holding you.
She's Miss Buff. My mommy's away. Daddy, too. We're taking a walk to make them come home.
Oh, and where are they?
I don't know. I don't know. I don't know.
Kathy, come in, darling. And Miss Buff, how are you? Come in, come in. Mother, guess who's here?
Why, Kathy and Miss Buff.
Hello, Aunt Liz.
Hello, Mrs. Cleveland.
Take your things off. We've got a big fire in the living room, and wait till you see our Christmas tree, Kathy.
I'm sure it's very beautiful.
I'll bet Kathy came to see her cousin Johnny, didn't she?
Yes, I did, Uncle Ted. I would like to see him very much.
Do you know what that boy of mine did, Miss Buff?
No.
He found the train.
Oh, he did?
After I took so much trouble to hide them out in the garage, he found them. So, of course, I had to set them up for him. Well, it's the day before Christmas. He's in his room now, Kathy.
Yes, I would like to play with the train.
Of course you would. Jolly!
I can't come now, Daddy. I'm busy.
Kathy's here.
Hey, come on up and play with my trains, Kathy. You ought to see. I got them all hitched up now.
Go on, Kathy.
All right.
I've been on the phone since 7 this morning, Miss Buff, and there just isn't any word at all about the plane.
Look!
A man from the newspaper called the house. I told him to stay away.
Does the child know? I think she does.
What did you tell her?
Nothing. How do you tell a child, Mrs. Cleveland?
Look at it go!
What I can't understand is why no word at all. The plane took off from Paris on time, and there was radio contact over Ireland, from what I could find out. But since then, nothing.
You'd better tell her, John. Tell me what?
Well, there was a storm over the ocean. Pretty bad storm. They said...
Miss Roth.
Yes, darling?
I just figured out something. It's about Mommy and Daddy.
Oh, Kathy.
They're not coming home. They're not ever coming home.
It's going to be good to get inside of the house, Kathy. Oh, look at you. You look almost like the snowman you and Johnny built. Here, let me brush you off a bit before we go inside.
There's a man there.
What'd you say, darling?
Right there, standing by the door. A man.
Hello.
Good evening, miss. Hello, little girl. Is this your house?
Yes, I live here.
Who are you? What do you want?
Oh, then you'd be the Harper's little girl, wouldn't you?
Yes?
I asked you, who are you?
Now, don't worry about it, ma'am. I just want to take a picture of the little girl. You want your picture taken, little girl?
Roth,
you're the reporter I talked to this morning, aren't you?
And we'll want one of you, too, ma'am.
Here, get in the house, Kathy. Don't stand there, dear. Get in the house. I'll be in a moment. It's Christmas Eve, Mr. Reporter. Did you know that?
Oh, now, look, ma'am,
It's Christmas Eve. Where's your heart?
Oh, look, you've got to understand. I talked to you on the phone. It was almost 10 hours ago, before noon. It's nighttime already. There still isn't any word about the plane. I represent a newspaper, ma'am. We've got to assume... Well, you know, I don't want to say it any more than you do.
Oh, just go away.
Oh, now, really, I've got to...
Were you ever lonely on Christmas Eve? Alone in a house that's empty? While outside other people were singing... When it was warmth and love and joy, but outside...
I'm just trying to
Christmas do Christmas Eve. The snow is falling. Christmas Eve. And a child is grieving.
Yeah. I'm sorry. Good night.
It's in the living room, Buffy.
Full thought.
Yes?
Let's have a secret.
What, Buffy?
Let's not wait till tomorrow.
What do you mean?
We go to our tree and open some of our presents now. Maybe just one. Hmm? Choose the one with the most beautiful wrapping. You can open it, and you can play with it now while I go and fix something for you to eat.
I'm not hungry, Buff. Honestly, I'm not.
Oh, just some milk and cookies, honey. You haven't eaten.
All right.
Well, let's choose. Go ahead, pick one.
All right. That one.
Mm-hmm. It's from Mr. and Mrs. Anderson next door. Open it.
You open it, Buffy.
Very well. Oh, look.
Very nice.
A carousel. Well, I wind it for you. And we'll put it down here. Now. Oh, you watch it. When it runs down, you can wind it up again. I'm going into the kitchen. Kathy, here's your... Kathy, honey, where are you? Kathy, your milk and cookies are on the table. Kathy... Are you in your room, Kathy? Kathy? Kathy, honey? Kathy? Kathy!
Why, Miss Bob.
Mr. Anderson, is Kathy here?
Well, I know. Is...
Would you mind asking Mrs. Anderson if Kathy's here? Maybe she came in through the back way.
Well, Mrs. Anderson and I have been sitting in the living room for the last hour. Well, what's the matter, Miss Buff?
Kathy ran out of the house.
Oh, poor child. I can imagine how she must
feel. I thought she might have come over here next door. She just ran out of the house. I don't know where she is.
Oh, a child like that. And what's happened to her today? Now, wait. I'll get my coat, Miss Buff. I'll come with you.
Paul, listen.
Hi, Mr. Anderson. Want a ride? You go all the way down the hill for $3. They've got it roped off.
Paul, have you seen Kathy?
Sure.
Well, where is she?
I don't know.
Where is she, Paul? Where did she go?
How am I supposed to know where she went?
But you saw her, didn't you?
Sure. She was running down the block. I yelled at her to come on over, but she kept running.
Which way, Paul?
Down there, I guess. Where the stores are.
Thank you.
Sure. Merry Christmas, Mr. Anderson. Merry Christmas, Miss Buff. Hey,
watch! She hasn't been in my store, Miss Buff, and I'm the only one on the block who's open. Last-minute Christmas rush, you know.
Thank you, Mr. Ruxton.
Say, now, that kid and what happened to that plane today, I'd sure let the police know she was missing.
I think he's right, Miss Buff.
Call them, please. Call them.
Oh, use this phone, Mr. Anderson.
Thank you. Hello, operator. Give me the police. Oh, hello, police. I want to report a little girl who's missing. Kathy Harper. Well, she's got blonde hair and blue eyes. Oh, wait a second. I'll find out. Just go in the house, Miss Buff. I'm sure they'll find her.
It's 10 o'clock. They've been looking for 3 hours.
Well, they have ways. They'll find her.
We waited in that station house. All the policemen who phoned in. None of them.
Well, you just go in the house. Now, I'll send Mrs. Anderson over.
No, really. I'd rather you wouldn't.
Well?
Good night, Mr. Anderson. And thank you.
Patrolman Reed, ma'am.
Have you found Kathy?
Yes, ma'am.
Where is she?
You better come with me, ma'am. Is, ma'am, in the second pew.
Kathy. Oh, Kathy, child.
Christmas Eve. Church should have been the first place we should have looked for that kid.
Thank you.
kid.
It's almost Christmas, isn't it?
Yes, darling.
You're going to read to me?
Of course. You just lie there.
Buffy.
Yes, darling?
Nothing. Just read to me.
It was the night before Christmas when all through the house not a creature was stirring. Not even the mouse. The stockings were hung by the chimney with care in hopes that St. Nicholas soon would be there. The children were nestled all snug in their beds while visions of sugar plums danced in their heads. And Mama in her kerchief and I in my cap had just settled down for a long winter's nap. When out on the lawn there arose such a clatter, I sprang from my bed to see what was the matter. Way to the window I flew like a flash, tore open the shutters and threw open the sash. The moon on the breast of the new-fallen snow gave a luster of midday to objects below. When what to my wondering eyes should appear but a miniature sleigh and 8 tiny reindeer with a little old driver. So lively and quick, I knew in a moment it must be St. Nick. More rapid than eagles his coursers they came, and he whistled and shouted and called them by name. Now Dasher, now Dancer, now Prancer and Vixen, on Comet, on Cupid, on Donder and Blitzen, to the tops of the porch, to the top of the wall. Now dash away, dash away, dash away all.
Buffy!
Oh, Lord.
Mommy! Daddy! Merry Christmas, Kathy!
Kathy, baby! Oh. Hey, hey, it's Christmas. We don't cry on Christmas.
I thought...
Oh, baby. Baby.
Hey, how about a big hug for me?
Oh, Daddy.
Ah, that's my girl.
Where's Miss Buff? I was in bed. She was reading to me.
In bed's the place for you. Come on, I'll carry you.
Buff, it's Mommy. It's Daddy.
I know, darling, I know.
Hello, Buffy. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas, Buff.
We had to make an emergency landing in Newfoundland. Small field communications were shot that storm.
Yes, yes. Let's not talk about it anymore now.
Buffy was reading me a wonderful thing about the night before Christmas.
Here. I'll put you in bed, Kathy. There. There you are. Read it to us, Buffy.
Hmm?
To all of us.
Oh, well, I lost my place. Read it, Buffy. As dry leaves that before the wild hurricane fly, when they meet with an obstacle, mount to the sky, so up to the housetop the coursers they flew with a sleigh full of toys. And St. Nicholas, too. And then in a twinkle, I heard on the roof the prancing and pawing of each little hoof. As I drew in my head and was turning around, down the chimney, St. Nicholas came with a bound. He was dressed all in fur from his head to his foot, and his clothes were all tarnished with ashes and soot. A bundle of toys he had flung on his back and looked like a peddler just opening his pack. His eyes, how they twinkled. His dimples, how merry. His cheeks were like roses, his nose like a cherry. His droll little mouth was drawn up like a bow, and the beard on his chin was as white as the snow. The stump of a pipe he held tight in his teeth, and the smoke, it encircled his head like a wreath. He had a broad face and a little round belly that shook when he laughed like a bowl full of jelly. He was chubby and plump, a right jolly old elf, and I laughed when I saw him in spite of myself. A wink of his eye and a twist of his head soon gave me to know I had nothing to dread. He spoke not a word, but went straight to his work and filled all the stockings. Then turned with a jerk and laying his finger aside of his nose and giving a nod up the chimney, he rose.
He sprang to his sleigh, to his team, gave a whistle, and away they all flew like the down on a thistle. But I heard him exclaim as he drove out of sight, "Happy Christmas to all, and to all a good night."
Ladies and gentlemen, you have just heard Miss Greer Garson in a dramatization of "'Twas the Night Before Christmas," tonight's production in Autolite's Suspense. Miss Garson will return in just a moment. Next week on Suspense, our star will be Mr. James Mason, who as Lord Essex plots to capture Elizabeth's throne. It's called The Queen's Ring.
And here once again is our lovely star, Miss Garson.
Harlow, thank you very much. And thank you, Anne Whitfield. While I have these few moments, may I join the Autolite family in sending holiday greetings to our friends everywhere. Merry Christmas, Harlow.
Merry Christmas, Greer. Merry Christmas to all, and to all, a good night.
This is the CBS Radio Network.
Suspense, on Tuned to Yesterday from the 21st of December, 1953, on CBS. And that closes this hour of Christmas-themed shows on Tuned to Yesterday. Be sure to be with us again for more great programs from radio's past. Until our next hour together, I'm Mark Livonier. Happy holidays.